God is at work in us. That's my declaration of faith and my personal testimony. God is at work in me, really leading me to depend on him more. I mean, if I can put it as simply as that, you've heard it 1,000 times before, but I'm gradually understanding the reality of that by the grace of God. And all I can say is he makes life a whole lot easier and a lot happier when we depend on him. In one way, I kind of wonder what I've been doing all these years. You know, I've been a Christian for 25 years, something like that. And I think actually I've been doing a lot of struggling and straining, like the disciples in the boat before Jesus came to rescue them. I think that I could say that's probably my history, not my future, but that's my history. But I really am learning to believe in Christ in me. Again, we've heard that 1,000 times, haven't we? But really believing in the power of the Holy Spirit in me and letting him take the strain. You know, letting him take the things that I find difficult. And there's a key scripture to really experiencing his power. And we're going to look at that together. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. You don't need to turn there. We're going to have it up on the screen. This is just kind of the nugget of it, really. We have access by faith into this grace. We access what we need, his strength, his ability, by believing. It's as simple as that. It's as easy as that. Believe it and you'll see it. Believe it and you'll have it. The believing is the entry point, or the door, really, the access to the grace. And this week I had a great opportunity to do that personally. As you know, Pastor Judith has not been at all well and has had no voice. And I really mean no voice, just a whisper, until Friday, when I would say a croak came back. Honestly, this morning really is a miracle that we can hear her. So by Friday she had a croak. And I realised this is my moment to step up. You know, the plan was that I was going to be doing today. And at the start of the week I realised, there's no way she can do Wednesday. I need to do Wednesday. Let's swap. You do Sunday, I'll do Wednesday. Okay, I can believe for that. By Wednesday, I realise I'm doing Wednesday and Sunday, which may not sound like a lot to you. It may not sound like a big deal. But in my old mindset, I couldn't do both. I can do one or the other, but not both. But praise God, this is a new day. And I really just said, well, Lord, this is over to you then. This is my opportunity to access your grace by faith. And I'll believe in your grace and trust you to give me what I need quickly. And praise God, he has. I've got a message this morning, God-given, I believe. And it worked, you know. Believing in his grace, it works. That really is my story, and I'm sure you all have faith stories as well. A lot of you will have. He stabilizes our emotions. Believing in his grace, he really calms you down. Your mind stops racing, actually, and you just lean back and think, okay, Lord, you're in me. Your ability is in me. I didn't know whether to bring this or not. It's kind of an unusual analogy, but just go with me on this. I was thinking, David loves Formula One. I personally can't stand it. I don't even like the noise of it. So every other Sunday's a bit of a challenge when it's on, but his grace is sufficient. And Reg has learnt to enjoy the Formula One with David, and I go in the other room. Anyway, I was thinking, I don't know, it's a bit of an odd one, but I was thinking, if I were to get into a Formula One car, that is odd, I mean, I would just be absolutely overwhelmed. All of us would, because I'm pretty sure none of us have. Where do you even begin? But if I believed I had the spirit of Lewis Hamilton. See, I don't watch it. The spirit of Lewis Hamilton on the inside of me. If I genuinely really believe that, I would attempt to turn on the engine, and I would believe that I had his skill and expertise and experience to get that car going and take it round the track. I would dare to go at speed if I really believed I'm channeling Lewis Hamilton. You know? Another example, this one, you might like this one. Jamie Oliver. I love Jamie Oliver. David doesn't. There we go. Isn't it amazing how he puts you together with somebody totally different and says, there you go, get on with that and depend on my grace. Anyway, you know, just imagine at a moment's notice, you know, we decided we were going to invite people around for a meal, and I'm like, what on earth am I going to do? How am I going to do it? If I believed I had the spirit of Jamie Oliver on the inside of me, I would attempt to make one of his 15-minute meals, and I would do it in 15 minutes. Fabulous. Something amazing. Because I would have his skill, his expertise, his ability, his, you know, all of his greatness working through my hands. Well, think of this. We have the Spirit of God, who is the expert in every area of life, from raising children to doing your job to managing businesses and relationships and whatever we do. We have the Spirit of God to do the things we find difficult. And we all have pressure points, don't we? Not if you have a pressure point. Or do you have absolutely no pressure points and you're living grace-filled, rosy days? God bless you. I'm pleased for you. Most of us have pressure points. And we, most of us, have boundaries in our head that say, I can do this, but I can't do that. I can do this much, but I can't do that much. We have boundaries. But the Lord actually wants to move us beyond our boundaries, real or imagined. Some of them are real, some of them are imagined. He wants to take us beyond our boundaries so we actually depend on him more fully. And then at that point, you experience his grace. Think about all the things you find difficult in life. There may be just a few, or there may be many things in your life. Diet, for example. Exercise. Your work, an aspect of your work, or ministry, or all of your work, or all of your ministry. There are things we find difficult, but if we will go to the Word and receive a promise about that thing we find difficult, we will then receive faith. And then all we do is say, thank you, Lord, for this promise. Thank you that it's true for me. Thank you your grace is sufficient for me. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. And then, listen to this bit, we will attempt to do the thing we previously thought impossible. Until we attempt to do the things we find difficult or even think are impossible, we'll never step into the grace of God. Peter and John at the temple gate, they never would have seen that lame man healed unless they attempted what their natural mind told them was impossible. We have to attempt things. Not willy-nilly, not presumed, but because we have faith in God to come through for us at that point of need. It all starts with a thought. This is what I want to speak about this morning. It really is a follow-on from Pastor Judith's message last week. It all starts with the right thought. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do that through Christ who strengthens me. And I can do that through Christ who strengthens me. We all have thoughts within ourselves. That's really kind of what I want to home in on. We all have thoughts within ourselves all the time. And they either swing us into the flesh or into the spirit, don't they? And one of the main ways we reign in life is by thinking right thoughts. And if I can be more specific about it, by thinking God thoughts, God-given thoughts, and thoughts that actually agree with the Lord. So we have the ability, I think that's amazing, we have the ability to think God's thoughts Or, sadly, the flip side is we also have the ability to think thoughts that come from the enemy and agree with the enemy. And do you know, whenever you agree with the enemy, you empower the enemy. Our thoughts make us or break us, don't they? Your thoughts will give you a good attitude or a bad attitude. Your thoughts will give you a good day or a bad day. Everything starts with a thought. Satan's called the god of this age, isn't he? There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 that says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Not a nice thought. Horrible thought. But being ostriches, burying our head in the sand, pretending that he isn't real and that isn't true, will not change the fact that that is the truth. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We have a real enemy, and we're in a real battle. And the enemy of our souls is motivated and targeted to get us thinking negative thoughts. Let me say that again. The enemy of your soul and my soul is motivated, strategic actually, about getting you to think negative thoughts. And not just negative thoughts. Hear this warning. Wrong thoughts. Thoughts that actually appear right and good. Sound right and good. But in the end, if we follow that train of thought through, will take us to a very negative place. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He's a master of deception. He's been doing it from the very beginning. That's his vocation, if you like, to deceive. Revelation talks about that old serpent, or that serpent of old, that deceives the whole world. And he's called he deceives the whole world, but he's also really interested in deceiving the brethren. And so we need the Word and the Spirit, church, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit discernment, and we need the Word to divide between soul and spirit. Really clear the fog and make things black and white. I think the enemy he doesn't want to make things very black in your head, because then you'll be quick to recognize, well, that's wrong, that thinking's wrong. He just makes things grey or even off-white. It's kind of right and it kind of sounds right, but actually shame I haven't got anything like a pale grey. James's shoe. You can't see it. It's got a pale grey shoe on. If you were to hold white against pale grey, the grey suddenly seems very grey. On its own, it can look almost white, can't it? You know what I mean? We need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment about what is pale grey and what is white. What really is true and right and what just looks like it. I've written down here, poisoned apples. We need discernment and the Word to help us identify the poisoned apples, the things that look good, but inside are poisonous. If we were actually to get hold of them and go with them, they would do us harm. People can be poisoned apples. Plans, thoughts, and decisions that take us away from the Lord and play us into the enemy's hands, actually. And if we will take that bait, that thought from the enemy, it will just start a downward spiral. An idea that actually is designed to isolate you and take you out of community and away from church. A friendship, poisoned apple, appears good, sounds good, but is it? You know, if they have a negative influence on you, if they weaken your faith, that's not a good friendship at all, is it? The Bible warns us to steer clear from people like that. Bad company corrupts good character. Any plan or any change of circumstance that takes us out of the will of God. Ephesians 6 warns us, the enemy is a schemer. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. He's a schemer. He schemes poisoned apple plans poisoned apple people. Things that appear good, sound good, we're told are good. But right at the center, there's something damaging. Schemes his way to steal our faith, steal our peace, steal our joy, steal our health, steal our relationships. And very often, it starts with a thought. A seemingly innocent thought. Harmless thought. You know, we're tempted to think all our thoughts are harmless. Oh, it's just a thought. Think how we like. There'll be no consequences. Well, no, no, no. Most often there are consequences for thoughts we have. And so we need to monitor our inner thoughts, because thoughts often lead to choices that often lead to consequences that will, over time, change our course or change our direction. Thoughts lead to choices which lead to consequences that determine the direction that we go in. So if we're not listening to God's thoughts, tuned in to God's thoughts, our thinking will be shaped by worldly thinking. If you've not got enough input of the word in your head and your heart, you will be shaped by something else and someone else. And it might sound logical, and it might sound reasonable, and it might be worldly wise. But look, Scripture tells us worldly wisdom rages against the wisdom of God. The two are contrary to one another. And we're going to look at a scripture now, what the Bible says about worldly wisdom. In James chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual," meaning has to do with the five senses, "demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Look, the hidden motivation behind a lot of worldly wisdom is envy and self-seeking. Hidden, not obvious. But that's the motivation behind it. And look what it says. What is there when there's envy and self-seeking? Confusion and every evil thing. Envy and self-seeking attract the demonic. So we all have inner thoughts. We all have these thoughts that flow continually. And whatever thought you feed grows. Have you noticed that? I'm sure you, like me, have emails that flash up on your phone from time to time advertising the latest sale in the latest shop where you bought something from. And I tend to look at most of them, if I'm honest. I look at a lot of them. And, you know, I may have no plans to buy a new top. But then, you know, I look at it and I turn it off and I walk away thinking I don't need that. But then it comes back to me later on in the day. Well, that top was really nice. It would go with X, Y, and Z. You'd have a whole new, you know, you'd have three outfits right there if you bought that top. You know? And the more you think about it, the more you want it. And the more you want it, the more you convince yourself, I don't just want it, I need it. Oh, yes. In fact, I'm saving money if I buy it, because it's in the sale. And, you know, there you go, my life on a plate. Thoughts lead to choices, lead to consequences, which leads to the direction. And, of course, some consequences are small and insignificant. But if you keep repeating those thoughts, and making the same choices, in the end, it can lead to a negative place. One-offs, you know, occasional, okay. But if you keep doing that, that's the way to end up in debt, isn't it? You know, and it just started with a thought that led to a choice, and then another, and then another, and then another. Addictions start with a thought. Adultery starts with a thought. One thought, seemingly innocent, harmless. And all the enemy has to do to wreak havoc in our lives is sow a thought. You can have thoughts about a person in your life. Just a thought, just starts with, well, they're lazy. They're selfish. Just a thought. But then if you feed that thought, before you know it, you've got a root of bitterness growing up. And your attitude's turning a bit sour towards that person. And then you start to think and speak like the world. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, chapter 17. Okay, Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. When you read that, think of that like the world, or every non-Christian. Gentiles are outside of the covenant of God, so non-Christians. Okay, don't walk as they do, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Worldly thinking is futile, actually. I mean, look, yes, people achieve a lot, they do. But gosh, there's a lot of cost goes on. You know, the cost of relationships, the cost of mental health, physical health. A lot of people are on all sorts of drugs propping them up. On the outside, seemingly, they're doing great. They're achieving a lot. But inwardly, turmoil, confusion, darkened, futile thoughts. And the only thing, church, that can deliver us from that is in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Amplified actually says, have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. In other words, think differently. Exchange your futile, darkened thoughts for God's thoughts. For God's sake and for your sake. Natural thoughts ignore the Lord, actually. They don't just ignore the enemy, agree with the enemy, they ignore the Lord. And in verse 18, it actually says a natural mind is a darkened mind, separated from the life of God. Humanly speaking, you can have a bright mind, full of the knowledge of this world, but unless it's submitted to God, that person will have a darkened soul. And their mind actually will be a playground for the enemy. Our thoughts flow continually. Even when we're tired, have you noticed? It's almost like, especially when you're tired, your mind can go into overdrive. I find it amazing how my mind wanders, you know, here, there and everywhere. And unless we take control, we freewheel. Yes. And it seems harmless, but it isn't harmless. I'm going to read a scripture to you. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, I love this scripture. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man or woman who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man or woman who lacks self-control. Lack of self-control is dangerous. It's not, we shouldn't think it's a casual thing that doesn't matter. It's actually dangerous for our present and even our future. It's an open door or a broken down wall to the enemy. If the wall's broken down, there's no protection. If the wall's broken down, the enemy can get in. To kill, steal, and destroy. If the wall's broken down, their thoughts can come in. Temptation to sin. Thoughts of discouragement. Thoughts of doubt and fear. And there's no rest when your wall's broken down, is there? There's no rest when you've got an anxious mind. And the enemy wants to influence us. I'm aware this is a real, like a warning message, but it's intended to be. Because, you know, if we're warned, we can take steps, can't we? To make sure the wall is not broken down. But he wants to influence, because his goal, of course, eventually is to control. By getting into our heads, inspiring us with his thoughts. So I want to ask you the question this morning. What are you thinking about? What thoughts are influencing you? Right now, in your life this week, what thoughts have been influencing you? Whose voice are you listening to, really? God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And I want to read you the most brilliant quote by amazing hero of faith, Smith Wigglesworth. He says this: God has not destined us to be failures or victims. He's destined us to be sons, walking in the power of the Spirit, master over flesh and the devil. That's the amazing position that Jesus has put us in. And our privilege is that we can be master over flesh and the devil. But we can hand that control, actually, over. If we want. Just by thinking the wrong thing. So you and I can walk in the power of the Spirit. We can hear the Lord and we can be led by Him. Praise God, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. We can choose what we think about. Isn't that great? You can choose to think right. Just say to the person next to you, I can choose to think right. Say, I can choose to think thoughts that agree with God. So you don't have to think negative. And you don't have to think judgmental. And you don't have to think anxious thoughts. Because you can fill your mind with truth. Your mind is precious. It's a gift. And you can fill it with truth. You can hold up the world like a shield and refuse the enemy entry. He might have been able to wander in and out freely over the years. But you could say, do you know what, today I am drawing a line in the sand. No more. You're going to try and get in and find you can't, devil. Because this is not going to be your playground anymore in the name of Jesus. We have armor. We just need to put it on. Don't we? Think of this. This morning you decided what clothes to wear, didn't you? Congratulations, you all look lovely. Unless your wife chose for you or your kids chose for you. But the point is, we all have the power of choice. And it's the same in the spirit world. We can choose to put the armour on or not. It's up to you to decide. If you're a new believer here this morning, you might be thinking, how on earth do I do that? Put the armour on. It's not weird. You don't have to be a Christian for a long time to do it. You can put spiritual armour on. And in fact, we all should put the spiritual armour on. And we know how to do it, most of us. We simply read the word. Reading the word, taking it in through your eyes or your ears, if you listen to it audibly, it has the effect of protective armour on our heads, on our hearts, on our whole bodies, on our whole life. The helmet protects the mind. The shield quenches every fiery dart of the enemy, destined to make you sad, mad, stressed, sick, whatever. The sword is there to defeat the enemy. It puts the sword in your hand. We're going to look at it, actually. Ephesians 6. Turn there. Just flick over the page. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The spirit realm is real. And that's where the fight is. It has very real consequences in this natural world we live in. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you have strife in your marriage, stop fighting your partner. Your partner is not your enemy. Satan is your enemy. He's real. And, you know, there are principalities and powers of darkness that are hell-bent on destroying relationships and families. As Pastor Judith says in her book, take the fight to where the fight is. We're in a spiritual battle. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Look, one way I know to submit to God, rather than just saying, Lord, I submit, is by repenting. Lord, I repent of that bad attitude. I repent of that negative talk, you know. You may well not have been an angel to live with yourself, you know, so you need to do some repenting yourself. God gives grace to the humble. And then you resist the devil. You reject every negative thought, every judgmental thought. And command he flee from you. Command he flee from your family. Command he flee from your home in the name of Jesus. We must see things from the Lord's perspective and recognize the reality of this spirit realm. Not just approach things naturally. You know, forgive your partner. Pray blessing. It may not be a partner. It may be somebody else in your world, you know. But pray blessing on them. Pray blessing on your home. Pray blessing on your workplace. Take a stand in the spirit and do it God's way, because it works. Our thoughts are powerful. They make us or they break us. And we spend so much time and energy. We waste so much time and energy responding to the enemy's thoughts. Don't we? I mean, apart from all the kind of emotional upheaval, it wastes a lot of time. And so we need to wise up by reading the word. He arms us with strength for the battle. He will give you wisdom to know how to handle difficult situations. If we will put this helmet of salvation on daily, the promise of the Lord is he will always lead us in triumph. You will be able to navigate these dark valleys by the Spirit like an elite special forces soldier and come out the other side with victory, more dependent on the Lord than ever, but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the will of God for every single one of us in this room. Just see yourself like that elite special forces soldier navigating your way through every minefield by the Spirit of God. Now, many of you will have heard this quote before, but I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. Bill Johnson says this, amazing man of God in our generation. He says, I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that isn't in God's. I cannot afford to have a thought in my head that isn't in God's, and neither can you. It's the same for all of us. Think about that. We can't afford it because every negative thought and every wrong thought will cost us something. It will cost you your sleep. It will cost strife in a relationship, mistakes at work, you know, because you've been undermined and you've lost confidence. The repercussions are endless. And it all started with a thought. Natural thinking, it's not obviously wrong, is it? Not obviously wrong. But it brings a subtle erosion of faith. And it actually separates us from the Lord. And actually, the further we get from Jesus, I have this written down on I've written it down several places. It's a post-it at the moment in my office. But the further I get from Jesus, the nearer I get to religion. The nearer I get to Jesus, the nearer I am to life. Yes. So the further you get from Jesus, your affection for him goes and all you're left with is duty. Isn't that true? But if we will run to him instead of from him and throw ourselves on the mercy of God and say, Lord, right now, I know I have a hard heart. You just seem a million miles away. I know you're real, but I can't feel you. I have no sense of your presence. I need you. Repent of every single thing you can think of repenting of, because actually repentance will bring you back to life. There's this brilliant, that's sort of paraphrased, Acts chapter 11, verse 18. It talks about repentance unto life. And I just thought the other day, you know, repentance is like a spiritual defibrillator, isn't it? Don't you need a defibrillator in an emergency? You know, you're in dire straits if you need one of those machines strapped into you. And actually, spiritually, if you are separated from God, you are in a state of emergency. Your mind won't tell you, because it will reason everything through that everything's fine. But spiritually, from God's perspective, you are in a state of emergency. And repentance is the way to come back to life. Lord, forgive my hard heart. Forgive my bad choices, my bad mouth, my pride, my independence, my pushing you to one side and trying to plow on in my own strength. Forgive me. Show me who you are. Reveal to me your presence again. Warm my heart towards you. You know, like David prayed, King David. And you know what? As you draw near to the Lord, he draws near to you, doesn't he? That is the grace and mercy of God. And once again, that channel is open for you to receive life and awareness of his presence. I want that more than anything. I know the danger of religion, because I've lived in it. For years I was Catholic. I'm not saying all Catholics are religious. Some Catholics are born again. I know that. But for me, in that denomination, it was just religious duty. There was no life in it at all. And yet, it was ticking a box and making me think I was okay with God because I went to church. Isn't that a lie the enemy likes to sow? A lot of, God bless the churchgoers in this nation who dutifully go every Sunday and think that the box is ticked for heaven for them, and it is not. Because they have no living faith in Jesus as a saviour. They're just going through the motions. It's just duty. An empty shell. Relationship with a person changes everything. That's life. The nearer we get to Jesus, we're back to him. And the sense of his presence, that I am with a living being who has a different mind to me, actually. You know, often when we pray, you can just be praying your own thoughts. And I need to remind myself, God is listening. He has a different mind to me. He might just want to cut across my thoughts and bring something new into my thoughts. Of course he does. It helps to read the word, actually, before you start to pray. Start to fill your thoughts with truth. My goal this morning, I said it early, really is to bring a warning and an encouragement. But a warning that we are in a spiritual battle. You don't have to get like, oh no, about it, you know, because God has given us the upper hand. We are in an advantageous position, but of course we can fall victim to the enemy unless we use the armor that we've been given. I found this quote, and it's a brilliant quote by a man called Edmund Burke. He was an Irish statement. The Irish say many profound things, and this Irishman said this very profound thing. He said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil in your life is for you to do nothing. Live passive. Keep your Bible on your shelf or in your car. Approach every issue with natural ability and natural reasoning. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up to the spirit realm, put our armor on and use it. And if I could say one thing this morning, I would just urge you to fill your mind with God's thoughts. Now, Sunny has the most fantastic testimony of the power of meditating on the word and changing her natural thinking for God's thoughts. So I want you to give her a rip-roaring round of applause, because she's actually going to come and share that with us this morning.
Um, I know some of you heard this on Thursday evening, or Wednesday evening. But basically, for as long as I remember, really, on and off over the years, I've had headaches and headaches and headaches. And whenever Pastor Judith brought the word at the beginning of the year about buffeting, for me, that was kind of one of the things I identified as had come against me and come against me and come against me for years. And I got a word from the Lord from Psalm 18 about that. And I was, you know, I'd got this word, but if I'm honest, things weren't changing. In fact, they were getting worse to the point that I was probably having headaches maybe 20 days out of 30 in a month. Taking a lot of painkillers. The painkillers lose their effectiveness, don't they? You know, the more you take them. And also you can pop them really quickly. You get into a pattern of doing something. And I was pretty much in a pattern of, there's a headache coming on, take a tablet, because I didn't want it to escalate. To be honest, I got to a stage where it was just really discouraging. And about a month ago, I was really blessed. Hayley came to me at worship practice and said that the Lord had spoken to her that morning about partnering with me by praying the word that I had until I saw victory. And so that kind of gave me a boost to write, something needs to happen. We're going for change. That was on the Monday. By the Thursday, I was on day four of a headache, and they tended to last about 5 days. And I'd changed my diet. I'd done all the right things, you know, that are also wise to do, drinking water, taking less salt. But these headaches were just not letting go at all. And I was taking some medication, and this thought came into my head. I wonder if I took the word like medicine, like I'm taking this medicine for 30 days. And so I got the scripture that I have and another 19 for good measure. And just, you know, I have this pack now of scriptures. And I decided I was going to do it on the whole every night before I went to bed, that kind of 15 minutes. And just take the word like medicine, speak it over myself, declare it. I personalise these scriptures for me. And as I said on Wednesday, often I felt like a parrot. There was no emotion. There was no kind of, you know, wow difference. Other nights there were revelation. But I moved from kind of occasionally praying my Rhema word or my now word into doing it daily, being consistent. It meant that whenever a thought of a headache came, these scriptures were popping to the surface, you know, to remind me of what God was saying. Because that's when it's difficult, isn't it? You know, if you're in pain, it's really hard to think God's thoughts because everything else is speaking loudly. Anyway, the 30 days finished at the weekend, and I've probably had a third of the headaches that I have had. I know that's not complete victory, but hey, that's a lot better than what it was. And if I do it for another 30 days and another 30 days or on another topic, what's not going to happen? But it's also completely changed my emotional state on the inside. This, because when it's a constant battle or a continuous battle, you swing from in faith to, I know he wants to, but I'm not really that confident. But the word in you, Tony used a word, galvanizes. It reinforces. It just stabilizes you. And the pendulum stops swinging. But also I feel like a resoluteness. I am confident of what God is doing. I can look back and see that he's at work. I'm experiencing it in my body, and I will it will come to completion. And it's just that I am, like what Pastor Andrea has been bringing this morning, I physically am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And that's the testimony.
Oh,
Isn't that a good one? Because the thing is, we all know to read the word. If you've stayed in this church for more than 2 weeks, it's hammered into you the power of the word, the importance of the word. And yet, do we do it? That's the thing. You can have your medicine sitting on the shelf, but unless you take it, stop complaining of being sick unless you take your medicine. Take the medicine. And, you know, to know or to even think the word, you have to put it in there. You know, you would never go out to your garden looking for potatoes if you hadn't sown the seed, would you? I mean, you just wouldn't. You know, you might as well go looking for leprechauns. They're not going to be there. You know, you can't expect a harvest of the promises unless you sow them, put them in. And something supernatural happens, really. If we all put the seed of the word, because this is living, it's not like any other book on the planet. It's living, it's got God's life contained within it, within the words. If we will sow the promises, over time, faith will come. Something supernatural happens. It's more than just mental agreement. This is the thing. Something happens on the inside. We actually become fully persuaded as we meditate on the word. There comes a point where a light goes on and you just know that you've got it. You can't reason it through. You can't explain to anybody how you know, other than God said it and I believe it. The key, really, to receiving from God is that you see it on the inside first. You see it, we've got a slide, you see it on the inside before you see it on the outside. You know it on the inside before you know it on the outside. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She thought within herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. She saw it on the inside before she saw it on the outside. Abraham, with his promise of many descendants, he saw them on the inside before he saw them on the outside. And so I, to use an old-fashioned word, beseech you, I urge you, upgrade the importance of the word. If you give it time, give it more time. And if you don't give it any time, give it time. Prioritize it. We need to stop being so casual and blasé about the word. Because actually, if we really believe we were at war, we wouldn't go out unarmed, would we? Naturally speaking. If you only occasionally put the word in, you will only occasionally see results. But if you will regularly plant the word, you will regularly see results. So if your Christianity is not working for you, if your prayers aren't working for you, really, I want to say to you, with grace and compassion, it will be because there's no active faith at work. So sow some promises. Get some faith in. Get back to the simple discipline, as Sam really has shared, of sowing the word. Sometimes faith comes instantly, and that's just a joy. You read the promise once or twice, it's like, yeah, I can believe that. I see it on the inside. Other times, like San is sharing, you just have to work with the word, cooperate, read it over and over, and it takes some time. But either way, if we are diligent, faith will come. Yes. Faith will come. So, we are going to take just a couple of minutes to meditate on a couple of promises. If we could have them up on the screen. I've chosen these two. Well, I believe the Lord gave them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities or sins and heals all your diseases. Big ones and small ones, anything in between. He heals all your diseases. And then the other one, Psalm 18, verse 29, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Now it's unlikely you'll be running against a physical troop and leaping over physical walls, but my gosh, they're very real in our circumstances, aren't they? Pressure, you know, hindrances, obstacles to get over, things we find difficult, by your God you can do it. You can run against them and leap over them. So I just want to encourage you to think about these. To meditate means to read, to think about, and to pray. And when you pray, personalize it. Thank God that that is true for you. So we'll just take a few minutes and make this time count. I just want to encourage you, make it count. Don't let your mind wander. Remember, you have self-control. Draw near to the Lord and just invest in your spirit by sowing these promises just for a couple of minutes.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.